Good evening. Greetings to all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We own a lot of things in this world. All you need to know how much you own is to move house. And then you'll be shocked and surprised how much we have gathered, and almost everything that we have in our home, we pay for it. And when things we purchase, sometimes we may have purchased it foolishly and we didn't even use it, and it is still brand new after maybe a year or two, and then suddenly you found it, and then to your shock and horror, you paid for something that you did not even use. And now it is probably obsolete, and maybe the best thing you could do is to throw them away. So ownership is not something strange to us. We all know what it means to own things since we were children. Mom and dad, grandpa, grandma will buy grandchildren a lot of toys. And once this toy is given to the child owns it. Another child tries to share, take it and play with it, the child gets upset and angry. So ownership brings about a very, very strong possessive spirit. So we all know what ownership means and what it brings. A very strong sense of ownership and possession. It's mine. And we will not want to let go, especially if that thing is very precious and it cost us. And it's still very usable and it's still very current. This is the meaning of ownership. But what about wisdom? Do you see this as something that you would want to own? Remember, the difference between knowledge and wisdom is night and day. Remember Proverbs 1:7, the fool does not despise knowledge, only wisdom and instruction. Which aspect of wisdom he despises most? Instruction, which is another word for chastisement or admonishment. Those portions of God's word that will reveal his sinful behavior and his sins. He hates them. He doesn't want to change because his pride may not allow him, and his arrogance and losing face will not allow him. But repentance is one of the hallmarks of a born-again believer because of the Holy Spirit's filling, guidance and conviction. And so make sure we know the difference between owning knowledge versus wisdom. The title is How to Own Wisdom. First, you pay for it. Do you want it? Are you prepared to pay for it? Yes or no? You may ask, well, what's the currency? Well, it's not Sing dollar. It's not the euro, nor the British pounds, nor the US dollar. You have to pay for it. So verse 1 to verse 2 tells us how we need to pay for it. The currency is called time. Time that God has given to us. You've got to put in time, and so close attention, which means don't get distracted, focus, concentration. That's how you pay for it. Time and concentration. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. The word incline means to pick your ears. That means you hear a lot of voices, you shut all the other voices out, and you tune your ear to what is called selective hearing. You select out of all the voices that are out there. You're going to have the voice of your wife, the voice of your children, the voice of yourself, the voice of the world. And then you have the voice of God because you spend time studying. Right? You can't hear the voice of God without spending time studying the Word of God. That's why the payment is time. If you say no time, well, God is not going to force you. You don't want to buy it. You don't feel it as precious, worthwhile. so be it. Like they say in the world, it's your funeral. Literally, it's your funeral. Because you're going to make a lot of decisions every day. And if you do not have God's wisdom, which means the application of the right knowledge to the right circumstance in life, you're going to make wrong decisions. You're going to make wrong judgments. And your direction of life will continue to head in the wrong direction until you take a step back and realize it. And stop where you're heading. And then redirect yourself in the right path. Are you prepared to do that? That's instruction, chastisement. Your pride may stop you. Many reasons. Money matters. You may be so steep in the pursuit of wealth that you can't let go. Because for you to stop means you have to repent. Means if you have gotten your gains by crooked means, and if you are true and sincere in your repentance, you'll be like Zacchaeus. Return what you have taken illegally, which means face imprisonment, face bankruptcy. Are you prepared for this consequence? Because you did not want wisdom, you did not want to spend time in the purchase of God's knowledge. And with the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, that knowledge that you have purchased will turn to wisdom. Because you now obey it. And so the Bible says, if you will receive, take. It's given. Do you want it? Put in the time. Because the second point tells us that it is not easy. It's like someone digging for silver, right? You read the responsive reading. So before we go there, we still have to focus on, are you prepared to spend, how much time have you spent today reading God's Word? Minus this hour, this evening. How much time, last week, day by day? Do a simple mathematics. Don't include those hours you were sleeping, just include your waking hours. How much of the waking hour, percentage-wise, did you spend studying God's Word? Include, let's say, include your meditation. You read one verse in the morning and you've been meditating about that verse throughout the day. Include those times as well. Because you may not be seated in front of the Bible, but the Word of God is in you and you have been meditating, thinking, what is the meaning, how to understand it in a deeper way, so on. Include that. Would it be a very healthy 50%? Or will it be below 50%, which is an F in our way of calculation, pass and failure, right? At least 50%, yes or no? That means hearing God's voice is very low in your list of priority. Because that's how God speaks to us, out of His Holy Scripture. And that is what the Bible says, if thou will receive, take, put your hand out, you accept it, my words, and then hide my commandments with thee, take it, hide it. Because it's precious. That's what we do with precious things. That's how much you pay for it. It's going to answer the question of how precious do you regard hearing God's voice. How much of your time? Because once you took it, by reading it, pay attention, don't get sidetracked. We live in a world of great distraction. We live in a very dangerous world, and the devil is impacting us, influencing us in manner that we don't even realize, in very subtle ways. Young people, do you look at your phone when you walk? Do you? Do you look at your phone even when you cross the zebra crossing? Do you know how dangerous that is? You see people do that. They look at their phone. Why? Multitasking is something that people take pride in. And the more things you multitask, the more you want to boast about it. Oh, you multitask only three things, I can do six at the same time. You know how foolish that is, right?
Because it becomes your pattern of life, of doing things. Which means you don't focus. You may be staring at the Bible, but your mind, because day by day, this is what you do as the pattern of your life. Multitask. So you may be reading the Bible, but your mind is wandering somewhere else. Your hand may be doing something else. You may be reading your Bible with a cup of coffee, eating a breakfast at the same time. You know how rude it is, right? When someone is talking to you, you keep on eating, right? God is talking to you and you keep on eating your breakfast, drinking your coffee. But it's multitasking, preacher. This is what I do every moment of my life. And you ask me to suddenly switch and just focus on one single thing, it's not natural for me. I struggle, I can't do that. It's not normal. That's the way we are. Once you have a particular routine, it will become a ritual, it will become muscle memory, and then you just keep on doing it and doing it, you don't even realize how dangerous it is in your relationship with your Heavenly Father, especially in relation to God's Word. You're not prepared to pay the currency called time with full 100% concentration, no distraction, nothing else. When your phone make a sound, don't answer it. I am spending time with my Heavenly Father, nobody else. You have that conviction? You will spend a particular time, private time, don't share it with anyone or anything else, just you and your Heavenly Father in front of God's Word. That's how you receive full concentration, close attention, and then because it is so wonderful, you hide it, you won't want anyone to steal it, diminish it, destroy it, so that you will incline, your ear will tickle. Otherwise, the only voice you're going to hear will be yourself, that you do what is right in your own eyes, you follow and do what your wife wants, because the philosophy of the world, relationship with the wife is what? Happy wife, happy life. Wow, correct? So you have to make your wife happy. It rhymes very well. Just change the W to L. Right? Rhymes very well. So all these things are now your philosophy. So where is the voice of God? Did you incline your ears to hear God's voice? No. But you still have to make decisions. And so you hear so many voices out there, and your ears are inclined to the one closest to you, the one who shouts the loudest or whatever it is, the one dearest to your heart, and most of the time will be your family members, and before you know it, your wife, your children become your idols. That's the danger. But I'm a believer, it won't happen to me. Who wrote this book? King Solomon. Was he born again? Was he wiser than us? What happened to him? Did he not know this? He wrote this. Of course he knew this. But did he hide it? No. He let his 700 wives and 300 concubines stole wisdom or knowledge from him. Either he forgot it, or he knew it, he didn't obey it, he didn't have the conviction to obey it. But once you do this, the Bible says, your ear will incline, and then your knowledge will turn to wisdom. And then your heart, God says, now you understand. You understand my knowledge because you live it out in your life. You obey me. And your heart will tell you that you have done well. So, that's the first step. If you do not do the first step, the rest, they don't matter. The other verses, they don't matter because from verse 3 onwards, it depends on what you do with verses 1 and 2. If verses 1 and 2 is what you now possess because you pay the currency called time, you pay attention, and you have hidden it,
and you have been obeying it and turning knowledge to wisdom, and your heart is your conscience. Now I understand. Because you're living it out. Now you need to sustain it. You know that this is not something that will be momentarily. God is not pleased if I only do it moment by moment, not on a continuous basis in my life. Today I do it, tomorrow I don't. This week I do it, next week I stop. God is not pleased with just starting well. He wants us to continue just as well, and we must continue just as well to the very end, until we arrive home in glory. And so how to impress that upon us? Well, the Bible says in verse 3 and verse 4, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, that means you're going to call out. That means there must be this desperation, like someone crying for help. You know you are in danger, you know you are sinking in quicksand. You don't have to tell this person sinking in quicksand to shout loudly. You don't have to. Naturally, he will shout at the top of his voice with as much power as his lungs could afford him. He will shout because he wants to be heard and to be helped. That's the meaning. Criers after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding. So you cry for knowledge because you and I know that the Bible is not an easy book to understand. Especially the book of Proverbs. To understand it superficially, it's easy. Parables are the same. Usually people use parables as an illustration of what they are teaching, maybe from an epistle. But to preach and teach from parable and to understand parable on its own, it's very difficult. Why do you think Jesus preached in parables and then the multitude say bye-bye to him? What is he doing? Wasting our time telling us things that we already know. But the disciples, they stay on. And privately they say, Lord, please explain to us. The parables had a dual meaning. It is to reveal whether you are truly born again. If you are, your Heavenly Father just gave you instruction. And you want to obey every jot and tittle your father tells you. And you can't obey what you don't understand. And therefore, if you come to a particular passage of the Bible, a verse in the Bible that you do not understand, you will not let go of your ignorance. You will study and study and meditate and study and search high and low until you understand it so that you can obey it correctly. That's what parables are meant to do. And if you say, I don't understand, never mind, it's okay. You mean it's okay not to understand what your Heavenly Father revealed to you in this perfect Bible so that you can live right with Him, and you say it's okay not to understand, which means you think God will give you permission to do what is right in your own eyes at the same time calling yourself a Christian, which means you are misrepresenting the holy name of Christ, His name of His only begotten Son, and you think that He will be pleased? That's what it means. Verse 3. Cry. Won't move on. You read, don't understand, don't go any further. Dig and dig and dig and cry and beg God to open your eyes to understand. Daniel, when he was given prophecies that he could not understand, he cried. Until the explanation was given to him, then he stopped. Did you ever cry when you do not understand a Bible verse or you just skip? It's okay. It's okay. When I was working, I was involved in a multi-million dollar project in Indonesia, designing a university that is as big as NUS in terms of the land size. He gave me instruction step by step. That's why he hired me to be his right-hand man. Every month, 1 week of every month, we go down to Jakarta. And sometimes go all the way, fly all the way to the site, which is in Ujung Pandang, Sulawesi. And to discuss what we have designed with the local architects, local engineers, with all the head of departments, with the vice chancellors, even the governor. And he depends on me to bring all the material. He's not going to be bothered about all the nitty-gritty details, but when we arrive, he asks for this, asks for that, I'm supposed to know and make sure that I bring them.
If I don't,
he will be in trouble with the vice chancellor and with all the people there because he answers to the World Bank that is paying him all the fees in the millions for the design. You think I would say to him when he gave me instruction, I don't understand, I just ignore him? I will ask him, can you please explain again? Can you please tell me exactly what document, what drawings I'm supposed to bring? I didn't quite understand what you just said a moment ago. Can I have some clarity, please? He doesn't tell me, I ask. I don't know. He doesn't tell me. And then if I forget to bring, I asked you and you did not tell me. I want to bring everything that you ask me. And when I do not understand, I ask you and you don't tell me. And you don't ask God. And you don't obey. But if you ask Him, you cry loudly. You hung high and low. Why would God not help you? You think God will deliberately give you an excuse after you cry and He won't help you understand, and then you disobey Him? You think He will want you to say to Him, God, I cried and asked, and then now you don't tell me to understand, you don't teach me to understand it correctly, and that's why I did it wrong? You think God will want you to say that to Him? Never! My boss won't want me to say that to Him. How much more God? And mine is just a drawing, a building. Yours and mine is the honor and the holy name of Jesus Christ and the souls of men, women and children who are dying in sin all around you. He wants us to dig in understanding gossip because the harder it is, the more time you spend in it, the more you web over portions of God's word and finally you found the answer, it becomes more precious to us. Easy come, easy go is very real. But after you have dug deep, you pour over it, you meditate upon it, you spend hours trying to figure out what that parable means, what this verse means, and then suddenly everything just simply bursts open and you understand it so wonderfully. The thrill and the joy in your heart is indescribable unless you experience it yourself. That's why God used this illustration. If thou seekest for her like silver and searches for her as for hid treasure. That's what He wants from us. Do a little bit of research. What's it like for someone to look for silver? Silver is not like looking for gold. Gold is usually found in nuggets and usually found on the surface. But silver is different. It's buried deep in the mountains. And usually it is volcanic mountains. And because it is very deep, it takes a lot of energy and effort. In today's context, you have to use dynamite. You use big, giant excavator to dig big holes. In those times, in the Old Testament, you have to use hand tools, dig deep tunnels, and then you and I know how dangerous that is, because the tunnel could very well collapse. But at the end of it, the silver would be there. And the silver is not like gold nuggets where you can just simply hack it from the wall and then you have this nugget full of gold with a little bit of dirt and impurity. Silver is usually embedded together with other ores. And then you've got to dig it out and then you've got to melt it. And silver may be the one that will remain after you melt it because of its high burning boiling point. A lot of work. But because it is silver, it's worth it. The time you spend, the sacrifice you have to spend and put yourself in danger just to get the silver, especially if you know that the silver is definitely there. How much do you pay for it? We'll also answer how intense your desire is, isn't it? Wow, the silver, I put my life at risk. I don't want to. Maybe I just dig a hole maybe 1 foot deep. If I find something, find something. If you don't find something, I never mind, forget it. I'm not going to dig 100 feet. I'm not going to dig 300 feet. And then I'm going to crawl all the way down. And then if there is some collapse, I'm not going to do it. Why do you think God used six silver as an illustration? Compare it with someone seeking God's knowledge.
you consider God's knowledge, knowing how to live your life rightly, pleasing to Christ, where the Christ of the Bible will be seen by the way that you live, by the way you speak, in the heart and mind of your wife and your children and your friends. Is that valuable to you? Is seeing Jesus Christ in your decision making precious to you or not? Because you call yourself a Christian. Remember, the book of Proverbs is a book for believers only. It is not a book for unbelievers to live by and then suddenly become a child of God. Every born-again believer can obey every verse in the book of Proverbs. It is a book to guide a born-again believer, teaching him how to think, how to live, and how to make decisions in life for Jesus' sake. So how important is it to you? For your children to see Christ in mom and dad, so that the Christ that they see will be according to Scripture, so that the Christ they see will be a loving Savior from a loving God. Which means, how precious is your children's salvation? Right? Because they know mom and dad bring us to church. Mom and dad are Christians. Now if you present to them a Christ that is false, no matter how sincere you are, because you did not pay close attention, you did not spend time to study God's word and hide God's word. You give up. You do not seek for it like silver. The Christ they're going to see from mom and dad will be distorted. And then they're going to see, you mean Christ made my dad to become like this, made my mom to become like this, and when they grow up, you think they want to embrace and believe in that Christ? If you do, you don't want them to embrace or reject the Christ that you distort. Go ahead. If this is what you want to do to your own children, by all means, don't spend time buying wisdom. Because you don't value it. It's cheap. Your souls of your children dying in sin and being cast into hell is cheap. You don't mind it. I hope that is never, never your thinking. Not even in the slightest. Because no mom and dad would ever want that for their children. If that is truly your heart's desire, would you spend time? As much time as possible? Because you are not theologically trained. Even for us as theologically trained, the hours we have to pour over to understand one verse of the book of Proverbs, to see the spiritual truth and the spiritual meaning behind it, it's tough. And that's what we all do. That's all we do. I don't have a job outside. We study the Bible every day, all the time. Never stop thinking. The moment we wake up, I open the Bible, and throughout the day, think of the Scripture. Think of the messages I'm going to prepare. Going to write the pastoral page. Going to prepare this Bible study. Non-stop. Week after week after week after week. And I still struggle in understanding the parable. Just one simple verse. Last night I taught parable. The parable of the leaven. Before that, previous Thursday, parable of the mustard seed. Last night, of course, sorry, not last night, the night before, Thursday night. Last night it was Deuteronomy. Thursday night, parables, the Bible study. Just one verse, leaven. What's the difference between the mustard seed and the leaven? I can't find it in commentary. Both of them start small. One invisible, one visible. What's the difference? What's the significance? What's the emphasis? Pray and beg God for mercy and pray for the Holy Spirit to help me understand. Because time running out. I got to teach. At that particular time, on that Thursday evening, I got to be there for the Bible study and I cannot go there and talk rubbish. And commentaries don't help. They give more confusion. Read this, read that. They don't help. So how? Just pray and beg God for illumination and understanding. And thank God, time and time again, the Lord helps. Really, the Lord helps. When the time comes, you cry. Why would the Lord not help you? All you need to do is cry. So that when He comes, when He gives it to you, He opens your eyes, illuminates your eyes, and you got it. Oh, the thrill, the joy, the happiness in your soul is wonderful. So sweet and so delightful. To find the answer and to know exactly what this particular parable, this particular verse, this particular passage of the Bible means. You had those experiences? All believers should have. You dig for silver, you know the silver is there. How do you think the poor man feels? He sacrificed time away from family, put his life at risk, and then finally he found this vein of silver and he dug it out, and then there's this big chunk of ore mixed with other impurities, other material, but the silver is definitely there because of its glow, its shine. How do you think he feels? Put him right at risk, spent so many hours, so many days, even into weeks and months, just to dig deeper and deeper and deeper with the assurance that it's there. You just need to reach it. It's waiting. That's what this illustration means. And then once you put in the time, why would God not give you the understanding? Verse 5 and verse 6. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You see? It's waiting. God wants to give this understanding to us more than you and I desire for it. And in this kind of multitasking climate, it's even more challenging, isn't it? For us to concentrate and not to think of anything else, not to do anything else, full 100% concentration, and with a heart that will not let go, whatever verse that you read and study, you want to know it, and the moment you don't understand it, you will not let go of it. You keep on begging God and crying and search the scriptures and find out. And if you still don't understand, ask your elder. That's the shortest cut, right? The elder's supposed to know everything, right, elder? He's humble. He shook his head. That's why his hair is all white. Hoary head with understanding is full of wisdom. I got no hair. So different. No hair, no hoary head, no wisdom. You struggle, struggle, struggle. Then finally, ask. And the elder will tell you. He will give you. He wants you to understand. He wants you to obey. That's our Heavenly Father's will and desire for all His children. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. How you want to please Him. You don't want to be angry with Him. Because He gives you His word. You don't understand. You just brush it aside. And then you live any way you like. Aren't you afraid that He's going to be angry with you, that you messed up the name of Jesus Christ? You misrepresent Him? You keep on walking around presenting a false Christ? You think He's not angry? Are you not afraid? And then once you find the knowledge of God, because He wants you to find it, and once you have discovered it, your relationship with Him will be much closer, and the next time when you come across another difficult passage, you want to have the same thrill one more time, and you dig again, right? You dig it again. Because the joy is indescribable. And you want more and more to have that kind of wonderful feeling. To know what the mind of my Heavenly Father is. And now I can obey Him. I know He will be pleased with me if I were to obey this part of God's word as He had helped me understand. That's what He wants. For you and for me. For Jesus' sake. That's why Jesus told us, as long as I am in the world, I remain the light of the world. How is He remaining in the world? Through you and through me, living a holy life according to Scripture, so that Jesus Christ will shine brightly through your life, your words, your action, your conduct, your behavior, every part of you, starting from your own home to everywhere you go. Why? Because Christ is still the only one who can save people from their sin and get them out of hell. And you and I are given the privilege and the honor to do all these on His behalf. And all He wants from us is
Live it according to scripture, which I will help you understand. Do you want to own wisdom? Pay the currency called time. Devoted, close attention, and then sustain it by a very strong desire of love for the Savior. And then He will give you all the understanding you desire to live for Him. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You see, He wants to give. Give. More than you and I want to receive. The Bible. The Word of God. You have been told a number of times that on earth, the person who understands the greatest value of God's word in your life and in my life, the life of God's children, is the devil himself. Do you know that? That's why he never stopped attacking the Bible. He never stopped trying to diminish and distract us from reading, studying, and meditating upon God's word. Because he knows, without God's word, you and I can't love properly. No matter how sincere you are, you can't pray properly, you can't worship properly, you can't serve properly, you can't do anything for Christ properly that is pleasing to Him, that will help sinners see Christ in you, because it is not according to the truth. That's why He knows it best. Of course He doesn't obey it, but He knows how important, how indispensable the Word of God is to all of us. The problem is not the devil. The problem is us. We don't. Can you imagine how foolish we are? For the greatest enemy of God from day one, the old serpent, he understands better than us the importance of the Word of God in your life and in my life after salvation. He understands. The hated enemy, the old serpent that will one day be cast into the lake of fire to be punished forever and ever, he understands, and we don't. And we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to help us to sustain this strong desire in us for God's word, which is the food to our spiritual soul. Milk and meat. And we don't spend time. And we spend time in so many other things that are definitely less valuable and less precious and definitely not eternal. But the word of God is to help us to become more and more Christ-like, to sanctify our thinking so that our thoughts will be like God's thoughts, so that because our thoughts are like God's thoughts, our desires will be God-like, and therefore our words will be according to Scripture in what we say and what we do. Is that too much to ask from our Heavenly Father after He saved us and left us behind? That's all He wants all of us to do. Isn't it? That's why He says, divine understanding, He will be more than happy to give it to us. But you need to want it. He wants to give. But who wants to receive? If you are born again, truly, you will want it. Because the Holy Spirit will be propelling you forward to stretch forth your hand, to reorder your life, and to promise the Lord from henceforth, I will make the study of God's word my topmost priority on a daily basis, no matter what. And no more multitasking. Have a new pattern of life. When you walk, you walk. You don't walk and read your phone. You cross the zebra crossing, you cross. Be alert. Do everything. Focus. Have a new pattern. And when you now have this new pattern of focus, one thing at a time, and do it to the best of your ability, efficiently, you become more efficient, you become more thorough and more diligent and more faithful. And then naturally, learning to focus on God's word alone is much easier, because now you have a new pattern of focusing one thing at a time only. Would you want to do that? It's your life. It's your Christ that you are portraying. I can't do it for you, you can't do it for me. How much do you care for the people around you? How dear are they to you, especially those who are not yet born again in Christ? How desirous are you to make sure, to the best of your ability, with God's help, to project the holy image of Christ according to Scripture to all of them? How desirous are you? You know they are going to die in sin and end up in hell one day if they do not believe in Christ. You know that, right? God delivered you and me from that pathway, that destiny. And now you know the Lord depends on you to be His mouth, to be His witness, to be His hands and feet. So they need to see Christ in you. And God has equipped you to succeed. The question is, do you want to succeed? You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He's given you time on earth to study God's Word. He's given you the mind to know God's Word. He's given you the Word of God in English so that you have no excuse not to know God's Word. If He did not give us an English translation and it's still only Hebrew, Aramaic and Greek, yeah, you can say to the Lord, I don't know Hebrew, Aramaic and Greek, and you chose these three languages for inspiration. I don't know them. Fine, you have a legitimate excuse. Then you don't need to. But we don't have any legitimate excuse. You are living in a free country. You have the very accurate translation of God's Word in English for you to grasp and understand. And therefore, you and I have absolutely no excuse not to own wisdom. Time, the currency, God gave you, right? God gave you. That's why you're healthy. You've got sound mind. God gave it to you. You have a desire, that's up to you to sustain this. And God says, divine understanding is waiting. The silver is there. You just need to dig. It's waiting for you to own it. God says, He will give you wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And then finally, the experience. The reward, the experience, what a wonderful, abundant life it truly is. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He hides it for you. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He protects you, keep you safe. He keepeth the paths of judgments and preserveth the way of His saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, that means how to be fair, how to be just, and every good path. Not some, not most, every good path. Every direction, every decision, you know what to say and what not to say, where to go and where not to go. That's the amazing thing about the Word of God. They ask you any question, you know the answer, and you know it is the right answer. They give you this situation, this circumstance, you know what is the right decision to make under every circumstance because of the Word of God. Seriously, honestly, that's a reality that God wants for all His children. Because He wants all of us to reflect the holy image of Christ. If we do not make the right decision, if we do not know what is the right decision, how are we going to represent Christ correctly? God wants all of us to represent Christ correctly, because it's only through Christ that people are saved. And if we misrepresent Christ, they reject the Christ that we misrepresent, thinking that they rejected the Christ of the Bible, which is a shame. And if they believe in a misrepresented Christ, they think they're going to heaven when actually they're still not going to heaven. They're still heading to hell because they believed in a false Christ because of our misrepresentation. And that is not a shame. That is a disaster. A disaster. Rejecting the false Christ that we presented is a shame. But they rejected something that is not the Christ of the Bible, who is a wonderful Savior. But if they were to believe and embrace, like our children, trust us in everything. Trust mom and dad in everything that they eat physically. The food, the drink, the shelter we give them. And then they believe the spiritual Christ that we present that is not according to Scripture. You know the kind of tragedy that will fall upon them. That's why God says, I want you to be exactly what this verse describes. That you will understand righteousness, what is right, and do it. Right judgment, because we make judgments all the time, and then you know how to be fair, equity, equitable. Every good path. Go to school, you know how to behave. You go to work, all kinds of challenges, you know what is the right way. That's the amazing thing about owning wisdom that comes from heaven. There is nothing, no problem on earth that the word of God, the wisdom from God cannot solve. You don't believe? You study the Gospels. Many of the traps that his enemy set for him were situations that the enemies of Christ could never, never have a conclusion. For decades, if not centuries, these were all age-old problems that no one had an answer. And they thought that when they were presented to Christ, Christ would be just as stumped as all the past generations of wise men. But lo and behold, every one of them, Jesus knew the answer, right? He knew how to make the right decision, even with the woman whom they deliberately caught in committing adultery and presented him, hoping to trap him and get him into trouble. But you and I knew the answer. How he answered it was something that was impossible for man to figure out. For Christ, he just did it. Do you not want to have that kind of wisdom? That when your children come to you with whatever situation and problems that they have in life, you know the answer, and the answer will be exactly as if Christ would be there standing giving the same answer as you. You go to work, you face all kinds of temptations, all kinds of snares, all kinds of challenges, and you know how to avoid all the snares, you know how to answer all the difficulties and the challenges that they encounter in the company. Like young Joseph in Potiphar's house. He managed it well. Do you not want to be that kind of witness for Christ? Because you are. All of us are supposed to be that kind of witness for our Savior, with the Word of God in us, with the help of the Holy Spirit, helping us to understand God's Word. You will experience this kind of holiness and godliness and righteousness according to Scripture on a day-to-day basis. Then when you come home, having witnessed well for our Savior, then your wife and your children waiting for you, with a smile, with a cheerful, happy disposition. Sure, the weight of the problems are still there, but you know how to behave and conduct yourself because you know your Savior wants you to live day by day. So, the problem of today, solved, done. You come home, happy, cheerful, light-footed, walking on air. Tomorrow, deal with it when tomorrow comes. Today's problems, with God's help, you pass. Experience His presence, experience His help, and you did well. You come home, children come to you, Dad, I got this problem in school, I got this. You know how to answer them too. You know how to help. Your wife will also have problems, challenges, issues. You know how to do. And in moments where you fail, you know how to repent with humility and sincerity. At the same time, also teaching your children, when they do wrong, Daddy repent, you must also learn from Daddy how to repent. Every step, it's a wonderful teaching of the way of your Savior to your children from the moment you wake up to the moment you lay back down to sleep in peace, having experienced the nearness of your Savior who has promised us, I will never, never leave you, even unto the end of the world. And to you, when you read those promises from your Savior in Matthew 28, verse 20, right? The Great Commission, I will never leave you. I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's not a theory. For you, that's a reality.
a day by day reality. The presence of my Savior by my side. Every step I take, He is there taking it with me. Do you want this kind of experiences? Then own wisdom. Pay the price called time. Keep the desire alive by keeping a close walk with your Savior. And the moment you struggle with a particular verse or passage, don't let go of it, don't ignore it. Cry for understanding. And the understanding will come in God's time. So that when it comes, you know that it comes only from Him. And you will hold on to it, and you will never forget it for the rest of your life. And with this understanding, you apply it in your day-to-day life, you experience the presence of the Savior. And all you need is to own it. Wisdom is yours. Let us pray. Almighty God, our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, to have a new understanding and a new love for Thy holy and precious Word of Life. For truly, You have described the Word of God in so many ways to help us understand how precious the Word of God must be to all Your children. For without the Word of God, we will not know our Savior. We will not know how to please You by the way that we live. But with the Word of God, may it always be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. And for that to happen, O God, help us to pay the price, to spend time and pay close attention, focus in the study of God's Word. And whenever we come to a portion of God's Word that we struggle to understand, may we not let go, but cry for understanding. And once the understanding is granted, how delightful it is to know the truth. And now when we obey Thy truth and live it out in our life, we experience the presence of our Savior with us, guiding us, leading us every step of the way. For the steps of a good man are indeed ordered by the Lord. May Thy Holy Spirit speak to every heart, from the youngest to the oldest, that if we are truly born again in Christ, may we never stop studying Thy Word. Create in us, O Lord, a deep thirst and hunger for the Word of everlasting life all the days of our lives until the soon return of our Savior in glory. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.